I'm a bit under the weather, so if this goes halfway through, just listen as closely as you can, because I'll keep whispering. Just take this in for a second. If Rome were built in a day, we would have hired the same contractors. I feel like, just in general, general construction can be a very challenging industry. Mistakes occur. You think you know what's supposed to happen, and you think you've got it all figured out, and you think you've measured twice and only had to cut once, and then you put it in an escalator, which is going to behead anyone who rides it. You can ride that escalator to the second floor as long as you sit down for the ride. Mistakes can happen. It's hard to keep everything under control. And no matter what you do, the strangest things can occur. Just take it in for just a second. The definition of a bridge, this is the definition, is a structure carrying a path across an obstacle. The closest thing that I see that might be a problem is the bucket right there. Do you see that? And I feel like if you're paying attention at all, you can probably dodge that. Someone thought that was a good idea. What's the obstacle here? I don't see it. This is an interesting choice. I feel like it might have been easier to just not put that weird curb in, right? Like, everything seems to be okay, and then we just poured a pad, but we made sure we carved out. We don't want the door to be shut. So we... Isn't that strange? Somebody had this idea, and it became a plan. And then probably somebody took that plan to somebody, and somebody else said, let's do it. That makes total sense. And then they did it. And then they didn't undo it. I feel like construction can be a very challenging thing. I feel like the best laid plans of mice and men, which is an old idiom that we have here. There are issues, all kinds of issues in construction and in planning and in management. Sometimes there's issues of communication and something like this happens. I got nothing here, folks. I guess if you want to change your perspective for just a second, you might go up and come down. They made sure to put the safety rail right here, which is just close enough to your ankle that you can just fall right slam on your face right here. They just want to make sure that if you catch that, you're going right down on the pavement. I got nothing for this. What is this? Why would you go up and over that when this is just fine? I guess we could probably rationalize, but I feel like this was not intentional. I feel like maybe this was an accident. There was some kind of communication breakdown. How about this one? Just take this in for 1 second. I want you to see that somebody put a lot of energy into this. If anybody's ever done brickwork, it's no joke. It's not something that you just slap together. The railings all had to be they were designed. Somebody made railings for that. Specifically for this, if you're in a wheelchair, do you get a ride up to the steps, look down and go, I guess not? Do you get someone to pick your chair up to the top of those steps and then let you make the U-turn? There doesn't appear to be a structure for which this is in service to. And even if there were, there's no way out of that thing. There's no gates. There's no paths. It's an eternal loop. Just up the ramp, down the stairs, up the ramp, down the stairs. Now, it might be a great analogy for some of your lives, but still, this is not okay. There was some kind of breakdown in communication. Sometimes you see something and you know exactly what happened. For whatever reason, maybe there were permit problems, maybe there were financial issues, maybe there was some kind of disagreement between the builder and the general contractor and the owner, subcontractors maybe, maybe intense frustration with the project, and somebody just quit. They just quit. I can hear this person right now going, I'm not cutting another handrail. I'm done. I'm done with the handrails. I've cut 7,000 feet of handrails. This one was the wrong size. I guess they won't use that door anymore. I'm done. And he just walked off the job. The handrail cutting guy was done. He's not going to cut any more handrails. You're not getting in that. You're not getting anything in that or out of that. Wait. What do you mean the money has no more project? I just put those doors up. I literally just spent 2 weeks putting those doors up. I mean, we got lots of good doors over here. This person looks like they may... No, he's going to come right around there. You know he's not going through those doors. This is the fancy doors. Look at the spikes on top. You don't want to climb over those doors. You might get hurt. You don't have to. Do you know why? Because you can go right around them. And here's the thing. I would bet you money those things are locked. I would bet you money those doors are even locked. Something happened. There was some kind of breakdown. And they just quit. This started as something, or maybe there was some project that was supposed to happen, and people just quit. Maybe they ran out of money here. I don't know. Maybe there was some kind of argument. I can hear the conversation that this man is having with his wife right now. I can see her in my mind, and she's standing there like this. And he's saying, honey, the permit guy for the garage just came. When he left, he was laughing so hard, I think he might have wrecked his car. I feel like we might be in trouble finishing this project. I feel like maybe I made a bad decision here. Listen, I did my homework because I thought, no, these have got to be photoshopped. Nope, I found the actual home for every one of these photos. Someone put a garage 20 feet off the ground with no feasible way of getting to it. What happened there? Some man was like, I need a space for my car. I'm sick of this. We don't use the upstairs bedroom. I know, listen, it's right, I can see the road right out there. I'll just do a, nope, he quit. I guarantee you that room is furnished in there because his wife was like, this is ridiculous. Put the bed back in there, hang the stuff back on the walls. Just quit, man. What's the story with this door? What's the story with this door? Did it start as something? Was there something that used to be there, and after a while they were like, we don't need this door anymore. We're going to leave the door, but we're going to take... What happened? Somebody just quit. That's just... Somebody quit on that. There's a door. Please, God, let the other side be drywall. Do you know what I mean? Maybe they just were so lazy they didn't want to... Because I get it, the framing and the thing, and once you take the door out, you got to make the wall whole again, and there's got to be a front and a back and paint, and I'm sure it's very expensive. But I'm hoping that there's not an opportunity for somebody to go, where does this... And then that person's going to have a very interesting auto claim, you know what I'm saying? Someone fell on my car. I'm sorry, what? What's the story with that door? How about this door? This is a very expensive door. Where does this door go? Why doesn't the owner of that door want anybody to go in that door? What happened there? Was it like a back entrance and they just were like, we ran out of money, there's no more money for the steps? The door's beautiful though, look at that thing. I mean, there's a security pad right there. In order to get this open, you got to touch that. This guy's probably like, how do I get in here? What's the story with that door? What's the story with this door? Why do people keep hanging doors in impossible places? Did the fire chief come by and be like, okay, on your addition, you don't have enough means of egress. You're going to have to put in another door. And the guy was like, fine. I'm not putting a stairwell to it, but I'll have a door just in case we need to bail out if the place catches on fire. How about that door? It's another door in a wall. There's nowhere to... I guess if you were to stand on that railing, you know, and risk life and limb, you might be able to get up there. What's with these doors? What is happening? This is multiple... Look how they cut the door hole up here. Even at the top of the building, they cut a door hole. Like at some point in time, somebody was going to be like, it's the roof. Ah, we bought the doors. Just put one in there. The people that live here, they all have a door to death in their home. All of them. I don't understand. What happened? Somebody just quit. Maybe there was some bad decisions. I don't know. But at some point in time, somebody was like, this is too much. We don't have money for those balconies. The balconies don't make sense anymore. We don't have money to take the door out. We shouldn't have put the door there in the first place. We even cut the hole on the roof. We don't have money. We got to be done. These pictures are very funny visual representations of failure on some level. Failure to communicate, failure to understand, failure to care. Some of these people just did not care. Let's be honest, they didn't care. Failure to finish, etc. I'm so grateful that there are no pictures out there of the times in my life when I've quit. I'm so grateful you can't go to Google Images and just put in Pastor Ben quit, and just up comes a slew of pictures of different times in my life when I just quit. On some level, in some way, everybody in here has quit for some reason, something. Maybe you quit a job. I walked out on a job before. Maybe you walked out on a job. Maybe it was a good kind of quit. Maybe you quit a bad habit. Maybe you quit trying to please people. Maybe you quit trying to get all of your validation from a relationship. I don't know. Maybe there are good quits. But maybe you quit dreaming about your future. Maybe you've quit staying in contact with somebody who used to be important because the relationship is just so one-sided. It's just draining for you. Maybe you've quit hoping for anything to change. Maybe you've quit trying in your relationships or at work or in your personal life. You just quit. And there's lots of reasons. You became frustrated. The garage guy's just got to be frustrated out of his mind. He's just got to be frustrated out of his mind. Maybe you became frustrated. That's why you quit. Maybe you lost somebody very close to you. And you don't know what to do with that. You don't know how to move forward because that relationship, which was so important, is now no longer here. Maybe depression has become a part of your life in greater and greater levels. Maybe you quit because you gave in to fear. It just became too scary to move forward. You didn't want to go back, but it became too scary to move forward. Maybe you quit because you just couldn't seem to catch a break. It was just like dominoes in your life, year after year after year. You would seem to get ahead, and then someone would snatch you back 2, 3, 4 steps. You just couldn't seem to catch a break. Maybe you quit because you didn't have the resources that you needed. The money was not there. Maybe you didn't have the support that you needed. The people were not there to encourage you, to walk beside you, to stand with you in the difficult times. Maybe you quit because it didn't seem like or doesn't seem like God is listening. Maybe you quit because your relationship with God has become estranged. It's hard for you to think that your life could be the way that it is, and yet there's a loving God who's supposed to be taking care of you and guiding and leading and directing you. Maybe you quit because it's too hard to be Christian on anything but the inside. All of your energy, all of your resources, your emotional and your mental and your psychological, all of that is so focused on just keeping you together, just keeping you from going out and robbing a bank or ramming your car into another vehicle or letting everybody on Facebook know how much you hate them. All of the resources that you have just are so focused on you. All your energy, you're just barely hanging on to your faith. All your energy is focused on just staying Christian in your heart, even if nobody else may know it. Today, what I want to do is to encourage you. I want to encourage you, no matter how long the road is or has been, no matter the challenges that you have faced or are facing or will face, no matter what is going on, don't quit on God. Don't quit on your faith. I'm not saying that today is going to be easy, but I am saying that if you listen, I am saying that if you let God's word find its place, I am saying that you can be in a different space when you leave today. Don't quit. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to be reading out of the New American, but whatever flavor is good. Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read 6 through 10. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. That's verse 6. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. I've heard this verse used in all different kinds of contexts. Let me give you the context if you don't know it. Paul here is talking about money initially. He is very specifically, initially, talking about money. In verse 6, he says that the person who hears the word should share their resources with the person who shared the word with him or her. And this makes total sense because Paul is all about the body and Paul is all about community. And he's always saying, listen, be a part of each other's lives and share what you have. Share your resources. If you got money and your brother doesn't have money, share some money. If you've got groceries and your brother or your sister doesn't have groceries, share your groceries. If you've got some resource that you have access to and a brother or sister needs access to that resource for whatever reason, share that resource. Share that connection. Share that phone number. Share that email address. Share resources. He's very specifically talking about money. Verse 7 is very interesting because I've heard people quote this a lot. A lot. And it sounds like a threat at first. It has very kind of scary, powerful language to it. It has kind of a threat. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. This he will also reap. It's actually a statement of a very powerful twofold principle. It's what we call an immutable principle of God. Immutable means you can't change it. You can't erase it. You can't add to it. You can't take from it. And whether you like to believe it or not, it happens for you. It happens. It's a twofold principle. The first is this. You cannot hide anything from God, and any attempt to do so is to mock him. I will say that again. You cannot hide anything from God, and any attempt to do so is to mock him. That means that any decision that you make outside of public view that you think no one will know about without a thought for God is your attempt to do something apart from God's knowledge. Seriously? Pastor, I decide where to eat lunch every day, and I never think to give that. That's not what I'm talking about, and you know it. When I wake up, Pastor, I walk into the closet, and I just pick something there's no more private time than that. Am I supposed to say, Lord, show me thus thou for what thou shalt wearest on me today? Nope, that's not it at all. You know what decisions we're talking about here. Decisions that are not made publicly with no thought for God is your attempt to hide it from him. And you can't hide anything from God. You can't. That's the first part of the principle. And the second thing is this. Whatever you plant, whatever you invest, whatever you sow into your life will be what shows up in your life. You may invest in secret, but the harvest will be public. That's an immutable principle of the power of God and the relationship with God. Whatever you think you are doing in the dark will have his light shown on it. Whatever you think people think about you by the way that you present yourself to them, trust and believe that whoever you really are behind closed doors, they have an awareness of. Listen, I used to be a class A liar. I don't take any pride in that. It caused me a lot of trouble. But man, I could lie with the best of them. Interestingly, after a while, you can't remember all the lies. You know what I mean? You just can't do that. I mean, if you have some psychopathology happening, if you're a sociopath, that's one of their great capabilities. They somehow can maintain the lie on the lie on the lie. But if you're just a normal, regular, average Joe like me, after a while, you can't remember who you told what. And eventually, it all comes tumbling down, and people realize not only what you said wasn't true, but who you are is not true. You may be planting and sowing things in private, but trust and believe the harvest will be public. That's the way that it works. So this is what Paul is saying. Let me bring it back in context for you. Don't pretend to support the church community. Don't pretend to support your church community with resources when you don't, because you will reap the void that you are sowing. Does that make sense? Don't tell everybody, I give money to this and I give money to that and I go to this and I'm involved in that. Don't be out there telling people who don't know any better that you're this person that you're not in church. Oh, I pray for folks all the time and I show up to Bible study. Listen, I'm not coming at you on any level. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying that if you represent yourself as part of a community that you are not part of, then there will be a void for you when you need that community. It will be. It is basically the height of entitlement when you expect dividends on investments you have not made. If you have the expectation that you are going to get the good stuff, but you've put nothing in the ground, that is the height of entitlement, and you are guaranteed to get nothing when you sow nothing. Let me give you an example. I was not always at this church. I know some of you, all you've ever known me is at this church. Wasn't always at this church. I was part of another church before. I worked for 5 years there. So I've been at that church. I've been in this church. I've visited lots of churches. I've had an opportunity to be in different denominational places of worship and at different places of teaching, at colleges, all that kind of thing. And I've heard this all over the place. I've heard this all over the place. The church has cliques. The church has little groups. And anybody coming in the door, if they're not already a part of that group, if they weren't somehow invited by one of those cliques, then they can't seem to make any connection. It's very closed. Church can be very closed. Like a new person just has no way to get in, no way to create that fellowship because everybody's already got their own thing. At one point in time, I'd heard that enough. And so I said, I am so sorry to hear that. I can imagine how disappointing that is for you. Let me ask you this. When you invited people to your home, when you talked to people after church and asked them if they wanted to eat lunch with you, when you would email someone and say, do you have plans for the weekend, what was the response that you got? Well, I didn't do any of those things. I'm new here. It's not my responsibility. It's not my responsibility to try to make friends here. I mean, I'm new at this church and people should come and be around me and gather around me and invite me in. Now, there's a little bit of truth to that, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But listen here. Expecting dividends from an investment that you have not made is the height of entitlement. And that's on you. That's not on your circumstance. That's not on your situation. That's not on the people around you that you are holding hostage. That's not on them. That's on you. 9 out of 10 times, that's what I get. Something like, nobody's reached out to me. Nobody cares. Nobody's made a move. You didn't get rejected. You just didn't make the investment. Then Paul takes the principle out of the context of resources and makes it very general. This is what he says. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Originally, he's talking about money, and he's talking about how we're all a community of faith. And when someone shares the gospel with you, that person has brought you into the family, and you need to share resources with that family. It needs to become this thing where we all have resources. And if I need something and you've got it, you can let me have some of yours, and I can give you better. Does that make sense? Okay, don't want to kick that too much. Then he makes it very general. He says, whatever you plant into your life with the intent of fulfilling yourself will paradoxically result in corruption. Don't we spend so much of our time doing that? It's about me. I need this. I want that. If I have this, then I will feel this way. If I'm in that, then I will experience this. If that person would just pay me attention for 5 minutes, then I would feel a certain kind of way. If I could have that or have this or whatever. Whatever you sow into your life in an attempt to fulfill yourself paradoxically will cause corruption. And it's interesting because the original word there is decay. The original word is decay. So whatever you plant in yourself with the point of fulfilling yourself, not only will it not fulfill you, but it will begin to erode the already low levels of joy and peace and acceptance and love and grace and mercy. In whatever way you try to fulfill yourself, it'll tear more out of you of what you're looking for. It erodes it. It decays it. It causes it to break down. That's hard. Because we are told by our culture and our society that we're number one. And we should do whatever it takes to make us happy. Whatever it takes. If this is not working for you, get out of it. If that's not working for you, get out of it. If you need this, get it. If you want that, take it. Because it's all about you. And Paul is saying there's a principle here that says if it's all about you, it'll never be about you. You'll never get what you need if you make it all about yourself. But if you'll sow to the Spirit, not in the Spirit. Do you see that? And I think that that's important because there's nothing that you can sow into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit got plenty. Don't need anything that you have. But if you sow to the Spirit, meaning if you will plant things in your life as unto the Spirit of God that lives within you, if you will look at your life and take in things as unto the Holy Spirit, things like worship, things like the Word of God, things like fellowship with and service to your community, if you will take those things and sow them and plant them as to the Spirit in your heart, then you will reap, specifically he says, from the Spirit you will reap eternal life. That's powerful. Everything that we do here in the flesh dies here in the flesh. Nothing, listen, I don't mean to break it to you. I'm sorry, spoiler alert. You can't take any of it with you. Have you seen pictures of people on the internet who have been buried in their Cadillacs? They've been buried in bags of money. Have you seen this? People who go to their grave with all of these resources and all of these toys and all of this money. I will never forget. I was a teenager when I saw the picture of the guy. They literally, his dead body was in his Cadillac. Who's beyond rich. And they had him all dressed and made up. It was a body now. I'm not trying to be gross here. It was a cadaver that was seated in his Cadillac, and they tied his hands to the wheel. And then they dug a Cadillac-sized hole and dropped that dude in there while some kind of crazy country song played. You know it was in the South. That was his last, hey, y'all, watch this. That was his last one of those. That's what we say in the South, by the way, right before something terrible happens. Right before there's a trip to the emergency room. Hey, y'all, watch this. And then we end up going to the emergency room. None of this goes with you. But everything that you sow is unto the Spirit into your life, you will also reap when you are no longer here. It's a harvest that just keeps going and going and going. And God sees it all. God sees all of those destructive things that you seek to sow and to plant. And your private planting will become a public harvest. But God also sees all of those things that you deny yourself, all of those things that you walk away from. He sees how you spend all of your time. He sees how you plant into your heart and into yourself as unto the Spirit. He sees all those things too. So this is what Paul says. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Don't quit. Don't lose heart in doing good. And that is hard. That means you make that phone call to that person when you know the relationship is not symbiotic. When you know it's not give and take. When you know it's mostly you give and they take. You keep making that phone call. You do good unto that person. It's hard. You keep giving. You keep going. You keep showing up. You keep praying. You keep believing. You keep tithing. You keep tithing because everything that you sow is unto the Spirit will reap in due time a reward if you will just not grow weary. Listen, Paul is saying here that it can happen. He's saying absolutely people get tired. People get tired of doing good, even in the church, maybe especially in the church. People grow weary of waiting for a harvest. I want so much to have the spirit of a seed planter. I think I have that spirit. I so much want to be a seed planter. I really want to be a harvester, man. That's what I really want to see. I want to be out there when the grapes are big and fat on the whatever, or with the wheat and the combine and the thing. I want to be that person. I want to be there. I want to see all my time and all my energy and all my effort and all my resources. I want to see them come up and be this great thing. And then I want to make it all about myself, which is probably why I'm a seed planter. And I'm fine with that. I really am. Paul was a seed planter. He got to reap a harvest, but he was always throwing out seed. I want to be a seed planter. Don't quit. You're going to get a return on the investments that you make if you just don't quit. What investments? Paul takes the twofold principle back into the concepts of resources and says that we are to do good, which is share our resources with everybody. With everybody. Do good to all people, especially those who are in the community of faith. You see how he's come from the practical into the spiritual and back into the practical, making sure that you understand that it's all connected, it's all interwoven. Don't quit. Don't quit reading your word, even if you struggle with it. Don't quit looking for a devotional that speaks to you, even if the first 10 were ridiculous. They were either too hard to understand or they were so tchotchke, kind of, you know, flippant. They just throw 5 words at you and then they say, have a nice day. What? I didn't get anything out of that. Don't stop sowing into your relationships. I know that's hard. Don't stop giving, even if you don't necessarily receive anything back. Listen, I'm a human being like you are, and here's what I know. Everything is not for forever. Sometimes you got to quit a job. You just have to. They won't promote you. They won't up your pay. You're doing the work of 2 people. People who are half as qualified are going past you. Sometimes you got to quit that job. All relationships are not forever. And that's hard. Sometimes, if you keep giving, you become an enabler. Sometimes your heart is just to help this person that you love so much, but the more that you give and the more that they take and what they do with it is not for their betterment. It's not helping them. Sometimes you have to step away from that relationship. You don't ostracize that person. You don't excommunicate them. If they call, you're on the other end of that phone, but your pocketbook's no longer on the other end of that phone. Sometimes you have to step apart from things that have become destructive to you. Sometimes relationships, no matter how hard you try, and let me tell you, there is grace. If you've ever quit before, there is grace for you. If you have ever quit, there is God's love for you. If you've ever pushed as hard as you could push and pulled as hard as you could pull, and it just was too much and you were falling apart and so you quit, God loves you. If you ever walked away from something that you knew you shouldn't have walked away from, but you did not know what else to do, there is forgiveness for you. And God will use the times of quitting in your life to strengthen you so that later, when you have another opportunity to quit, you don't. You don't. When God can show you through your failures how to succeed later, you'll come back to that point and you'll say, nope, I quit this once before. I'm not doing that again. I know it's hard, but I just want to encourage you today. Don't grow weary in doing good things. Don't stop. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on your faith. Don't quit on your relationships. Sow to the Spirit, and you will reap a reward. Father, I thank you so much for this time with your people, and I thank you, God, that you are so gracious and so loving and so forgiving. I think everybody in here would say, I can look back on a time in my life where I did something, said something, didn't do something, didn't say something that I should have. I quit. And I wish I could get that back. I know there are people in here that have maybe some old regrets and some old hurts, some old frustrations that it doesn't seem to bother them until something kind of triggers that and it piques their memory. Here's what I pray, Father. I pray that you would encourage your people. I pray that you would strengthen us, God. I pray that we would never grow weary in doing good. And I pray, Father, when it comes to community, that we would be able to just know and believe that in the body of Christ, we can always reach out. We can always reach out. If we need someone's time, if we need some kind of connection, if we need an email or a phone number, if we need groceries, if we need somebody just to cut a lawn, If we need somebody to just, I've got to do the basement and I can't do it by myself. I just need somebody. I've got to swallow my pride and say, come and help me do my basement. God, I pray that this body, that our community, that the body of Christ would be so interconnected, Father, that we wouldn't have need. That we would all know, each and every one of us, that the person sitting to the left or sitting to the right is a friend and a brother and a sister. And for the way that we function outside of this body, outside of this church, God, I pray that we would be a light and then we would be an encouragement. I pray, God, that we would never grow weary in sowing seed, that we would always be willing to make the investment, not to the place where we are destroyed, not in a direction that is just a source of destruction. We can't do that. We've got to be good stewards of ourselves and of our resources, God, but help us to never grow weary in making the investment. Father, I pray if anybody in here is sowing unto themselves, I pray if anybody in here, God, in places that we can't see, at times that we are not with them, are making choices designed to fulfill themselves. Father, first and foremost, I pray that you would bring that to light in Jesus' name. And that's a hard thing to say. That's a hard thing to say because nobody wants what's done behind closed doors to be put out into the light. But God, if it will change that person's heart, if it will change that person's life, if it will give them an opportunity to meet you in a new way, to love you in a new way, to be connected with you in a new way, then Father, I pray that all the investments that we are making to our flesh would be exposed and would be destroyed by the light of your love. And I pray, Father, that we would begin or continue to or increase the investments that we're making in the Spirit, to the Spirit. Father, help us not to quit. It is so hard, God. But you're enough in all circumstances and in all things. We love you, God, and we thank you so much. I pray blessing over these people. I pray blessing over this house, over this congregation. I pray, God, abundance. I pray that you are meeting needs, and if you haven't, that you would begin. I know that everything, Father, is on your timeline. I know the word says in the fullness of time. Father, I pray that people in here are reaching the fullness of time and their needs and in their prayer topics. I pray, Father, that you are blessing our people. I pray, God, that pride would be diminished so that if we need something, we could reach out to one another, reach out to this church body. I pray, Father, that you are increasing us. We are trying desperately to be faithful to you, God. And because of that, I know that you are being faithful to this body, to Maranatha. I pray blessing on her and all of her people. God, I thank you for this time together. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us the spirit of those who will not quit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.